Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchers.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 19th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Yesterday, if you didn't know, I drafted in Tout Wars. I had a fantastic time. I felt pretty good about that draft. Hopefully, I'll be talking about that on a longer podcast later this week. But it's been just so great meeting all these people who are just in New York City and, of course, seeing all the experts in the city. It's just the best weekend ever, and I have what I call my radio voice right now because I lost my voice last night, and that's why I have this lower, weirder voice today. But anyway, I needed to cover all the stuff that happened yesterday, so we're going to jump into that. Now, Grayson Rodriguez went 3.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. I watched a bit of this. His fastball was a little bit off, but man, I love the secondary. It's not the best camera angle, but you can still really tell that these secondary pitches are legit. He feels very much like a starter you need to be getting in all your 12-teamer leagues. Don't worry about the inning stuff and all of that. You're not going to care. Did you care when you had under 150 innings from Spencer Strider last year? That's what I thought. He's not Spencer Strider necessarily, but just enjoy the quality of inning. Cutter Crawford went 4.2 innings, 0 in runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks opposite Grayson Rodriguez. The reason I'm mentioning that is he likely has a spot in that rotation. We haven't really talked about Cutter Crawford much. I don't really think there's something exceptional here. You're going to see the 5 Ks and 4.2 innings and 0 in runs and think that there's something legit. Not really, but it is a very nice schedule. It does get the Pirates first, and that could be a very sneaky stream, especially in your deeper leagues and AL onlys. Cutter Crawford could be someone where you can get value early in the season. Trevor Williams was rocked for 7 earned runs against the Marlins, and while Sandy Alcantara was on the other side, 5 Ks and 5.2 innings. I mean, business as usual, 0 earned runs and 4 base runners. Daniel Lynch, 3.1 innings, 3 earned runs, we don't care. Kyle Muller, though, was on the other side, 5.1 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. His command is still not pristine, but he's in the conversation for the SP number 5 for the Athletics. He'll get starts this year. Right now, there's also Paul Blackburn on the IL, so it really does open this up with Ken Waldachuk, J.P. Sears, and Kyle Muller. Two of them are going to get a spot. And by the way, Lynch was against the Rockies, I should mention. But Kyle Muller, he's getting better. I think he's really the one that's not going to get the starts. I think he's going to be Waldachuk and Sears for the moment. Adrian Sampson, 4.1 innings, 2 in runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. It's too late. It's Wesneski's job, I think, right now, and not Sampson's. Glad he did better, but I think it's not his out of the gate. Tony Disco, a.k.a. Anthony Descafani, went 3.2 innings, 0 in runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He's the SP6 for the Giants. There will be an injury. Something will happen. And do not forget about Anthony Descafani. He can be a 12-team pickup as a streamer, believe it or not, when that happens. Nothing that's going to wow you. He's not electric, but he essentially is a Toby with a touch of strikeout upside as well. Michael Kopech is a little disappointing right now. 2.1 innings, 0 in runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Not elite velocity. He struck out a guy at 94 with his fastball, and that's... I don't want any pitch to be 94 from Michael Kopech, let alone a 2-strike one. I worry about him. I think he's still getting into the rhythm. He was talking about his knee feeling okay and finally being able to trust it. And I'm sure he'll ramp up as the season goes on, feels more and more confident, and the velocity should come as well. But I want to see a guy who's locked in and saying, finally I'm healthy and look how good I am. That's not the case with Michael Kopech right now. Michael Grove went 3.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. So here's the situation. Tony Gonsolin is not going to make it for opening day, which means the Dodgers have an opening for their fifth spot in the rotation. It looks like it's Ryan Pepiot. He did have some side soreness, and Dave Roberts said he's confident he'll be okay. There is a chance he isn't, and then it'll be Michael Grove. I really liked his breaking balls here. 6 Ks in 3.2 innings, right? I think there's not enough conversation about Michael Grove because he will get opportunities. There's a lot of talk about Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller, but Grove will get those chances first. And if he does well, which he's been doing pretty dang well in the spring, he's going to hold on to a rotation spot and they will not rush those guys. So be on the lookout for Michael Grove. Griffin Canning as well, 4.2 innings, 0 in runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Pay attention to him. He could be the number 6 for the Angels, and he's kind of looking like his 2019 self that I got excited about when he was first coming up. He's dealt with a lot of injuries, but he's finally at a place where he can actually be a legitimate starter and get into rhythm. So if he's in rhythm and he's avoiding all the injuries, then Griffin Canning can be someone to consider, even in 12-teamers. But in deeper leagues, you might be seeing him go for some fab dollars. Brent Honeywell got rocked. 3.2 innings, 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, 5 Ks. Yeah, all right, he's outside of that conversation. And there is someone else that we definitely need to talk about. And then we have a lot more guys here, oh man. And we're going to talk about all of those after this break.
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat. But Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
The first one I want to talk about is Dylan Dodd. 4.2 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Yesterday, I spent a dollar. My last pick in Towers was Jared Schuster, and Schuster. And Dodd went in the reserve round because there is an opening in the SP5 spot for Atlanta with Ian Anderson and Bryce Elder, option to AAA, and Michael Soroka not being ready at the beginning of the year. Both of them look great. I've watched them both. They're both lefties. They both have a really nice breaking ball and nice changeups. Dodd is, to me, the one that's behind because he hasn't had as much of a minor league track record. Also, Schuster has done well getting his slider down and in to righties, I think, a little bit better than Dodd. It's close, and honestly, I would love it if both of them were regularly starting this year. Ian Anderson, I'm not liking what I see from you. Bryce Elder could not care less. We have Kyle Wright, who's dealing with some shoulder stuff. Maybe he doesn't actually pitch a lot, and all of a sudden it's Dodd and Schuster who are both in the rotation through the year. I think this can be very, very exciting. Monitor them both. I'm taking Schuster as a deep flyer in all of my 12-team leagues at this point, but it could be Dodd as well. It's very fun. Framber Valdez did his thing. Max Scherzer did even more of his thing, 7 innings and 8 Ks and 0 in runs, but don't worry. It was Jose Abreu and Alex Bregman and no one else on the Astros, and they didn't even get their full at-bats. I mean, Scherzer's just taking advantage of AAA guys, essentially. Luis Castillo, 4.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. I'm a little weirded out by this. It's a 5.25 ERA this spring. He hasn't been overwhelming, but he's also traditionally a slow starter. It is warmer weather where he's pitching, but yeah, I think that's kind of what's going on for Luis Castillo. Don't worry too much about it. I'm not lowering him in my ranks. Zach Plesac, 6.1 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. It's only to say that, yeah, okay, fine, he has a spot. And any sort of hypothetical that I had of other guys getting opportunities, not. It's Plesac. Lance Lynn, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks across 58 pitches. So it's good to see that he's just kind of cruising through. It was only 3 out of 37 whiffs. This was the WBC. Against Mexico, his velocity was 93, so that's matching last year. We want to see it up to 94, but that's all right. That's fine. Martin Perez got shelled, 3 earned runs in just 1 inning at 5 hits, but it was against the USA lineup. Same thing for Luis Garcia. He wasn't shelled on the stat line, but he allowed 9 hard-hit balls in 4 innings. Ooh, that's a ton. If you don't know, hard-hit ball is 95-plus exit velocity. Not good, and it is USA lineup, though, so I can't really say much about that. Two Matthews went that I really want to talk about. Matthew Boyd, 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. 92 mph exit velocity. 92 mph pitch velocity on his fastball, which is what you want to see from Matthew Boyd. 4 out of 14 changeup whiffs, which are good. The fastball is being elevated. That's great. And was 1 out of 21 on his slider whiffs. That's not what I want. Ugh, I just want him to have that amazing slider and the changeup whiffs and elevating the four-seamer. That's it. I did take a flyer on him in Tout Wars. Someone bid $1 in the room, and I had somebody to save $2 for, and I went $2 to Matthew Boyd because, come on, I'm a Boyd boy. I also needed to take kind of a chance of someone that could be a six-inning starter, essentially, in that 15-teamer, and Boyd does fit that profile, so I did go for that. And by the way, I was using the live draft assistant tool for that. It's what we offer with PL Pro. If you have a draft coming up and you just want something to follow your draft super simply, it's incredibly helpful. It has a draft board that you put in the picks as you make them. And of course, you have the PL projections, or you could just use ATC if you just want to use ATC, which is known as the best projection system to run your drafts. It is incredibly easy and efficient, and make sure you don't miss any values and everything. I love it. I've used it for all of mine. I highly recommend it. It's with PL Pro, so go get that today. Pitchers.com/premium. There's also Matthew Liberatore, who went yesterday. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He's the SP6 for the Cardinals. I'm kind of falling for him, guys. I wish his slider was a little bit better. I think that's the last piece of the puzzle for Liberatore to be a legitimate starter. But he is at 95. Remember last year when he first showed up, he was not 95. He was like a 93 or so. His curveball got 6 whiffs. He had 12 over 60 whiffs overall here. It's kind of interesting. Do not forget about Matthew Liberatore. As with all SP6s, they will get chances at some point, and sometimes they can run away with it. We don't know where and how. Sometimes there's a 5-man rotation for ages, and it just happens that way. But it's very, very rare. If you look at the Cardinals rotation, I mean, you have Wainwright, you have Flaherty, you have Matz. Like, there are injured guys here. So Liberatore should get those opportunities right away. I'd say by May or so, something's going to happen. And I'm looking forward to that because I think there is something here. I just hope that slider is working. You have Josh Winkowski, 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. The only reason I'm mentioning him is because the Red Sox should be using him at the beginning of the year. You have Whitlock, that's a little bit delayed. Bayo isn't going to be ready. Paxton is now hurt. They have 2 openings. It might be Tanner Houck instead, who's been looking wild. I don't know. I don't care if it's Winkowski. Shane McClanahan went. Ace is going to ace here. 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Velocity is good. Change still gets whiffs. 0 of 10 slider whiffs is kind of weird, but we're not going to talk about that. That's fine. Mitch Keller, 4.2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 7 strikeouts. He got a lot of whiffs on his cutter, 6 out of, I believe, like 30 or something that he threw yesterday. 4 out of 16 whiffs on his breakers is good. But it's kind of weird. Like, he's not doing the best command here. Mitch Keller still hasn't quite nailed down his breaking ball command. I really just want to see the Blake Snell blueprint. I think he has that ability with four seamers. His cutter is getting strikes, essentially, and then the slider and curve being down, but he can't really do it. And he doesn't pitch for a winning ball club. His velocity that we were talking about, like, oh man, it's up again. This is great. No, it was slightly down, like 0.3 miles per hour, which is essentially saying he matched last year's velocity. So that isn't different either. He might be taking his foot off the gas a little bit because he's opening day starter now and he doesn't want to waste his bullets at this point. So that's a possibility that he has the other gear that we'll see on opening day. But then keep in mind, opening day is an adrenaline start. So oftentimes we see increased velocity and then it drops down. I will still get amped about it. I think it's so exciting because there's a chance it sticks around. But we're going to likely see that for opening day and it's not going to be a good start. I believe it's the... It's not the Red Sox, but it's not a good one, I think, for the Pirates in the first game of the year. So don't chase that. Nestor Cortez won 3.1 innings, 5 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. You're like, Nick, oh my God, you were so in on him. Guys, this was the first start back from his hamstring delay. He just wanted to get in and throw pitches and feel like get that out of the way. The good news about this is that he threw 52 pitches. So let's think about it. Today is March 19th. He's going to get one more start this upcoming week and probably 2 more. Before the start of the season, right? He pitched on Saturday, so he'll probably go like Friday, and then he'll probably go like, maybe he'll go Thursday, and then maybe he'll get him in on Tuesday, or so maybe he'll have an extended thing on Wednesday, because he's going to be treated like the SP4, which would happen on Monday or Tuesday. So let's say we have two more before his first start of the year. 52 pitches turns into 60 to 70, which turns into 70, 80. So he's actually going to be around 80 pitches in the first start of the year, which is good. That's what we want to see. We're a little bit worried that we might have to wait until we get to 80, 85 or so, but it feels like he's going to get there, and you can go very easily five innings on that if you're Nestor Cortez. So really no delay to me at this point for Nestor Cortez. Cal Quantrill, three innings, four and runs, six hits, two walks, and one strikeout. Yeah, that is a Toby to me at best. And there are two more guys I want to mention really quickly. Jackson Kowar, three innings, one earned run, three hits, zero walks, and five Ks. One hard hit ball. Shelly Verstrate messaged me this morning, be like, Nick, make sure you check out his slider. And he's throwing it four ticks harder. I know it's Jackson Kowar, one of the worst pitchers in fantasy last year for you, but he had 5 of 21 whiffs on the slider. He still sits 96 on the fastball. He had 11 over 50 whiffs overall. That's a 22% swing strike rate. Yes, it was against a terrible Rockies lineup in three innings, and I understand. It's nice to see a guy being completely different. It wasn't working, and he's doing something different now, right? That's if there's any world where it gets better, it's when he does something different. It is a harder one. It got whiffs. It didn't have as much break, but it worked. Something to at least be aware of through the year of Jackson Kowar. And last one is Zach Gallen. 4.2 innings, four and runs, six hits, two walks, five Ks. He's down two ticks. Now, the quote from the game was saying that he felt good and he had a tough fifth inning and so on and so forth. Four out of 75 whiffs overall. It might be a slow start. Last year, he had shoulder inflammation that delayed him a little bit. He took a discount in drafts and all of a sudden, like, he was pitching a week into the season and was phenomenal. I'm a little worried that there's something else going on here. And if you see decreased velocity essentially 2 weeks before the season starts, it's like, okay, like, you're going to turn this on, right? At the very least, we're not going to see increased velocity. We shouldn't expect that from Zach Gallen at this point. So I'm a little weirded out by it. I'm still having him inside my aces of dubs. I may have Yu Darvish ahead. That's all I'm saying. It's like, okay, you can have Zach Gallen like 22 or something like that, 23. Just not. I mean, these are very, very like tiebreakers at this point when it comes to the top 22 pitchers, right? Just in an auction draft, just whoever falls. Really in a snake draft, whoever falls. But if I'm in this situation where I'm like, hey, I have to take Darvish or Gallen at this point, I'll probably take Darvish. I'll take Darvish because he isn't showcasing this decreased velocity, right? I had them ranked where they are because I didn't expect any sort of thing like this. That's all. All right. That is it for today's edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Thank you all so much for listening and rating and reviewing the podcast. It goes so long for me. It's, you know, costs nothing to you and does so much for me. So thank you all so much for doing that. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.